Well, thanks, guys. Welcome to our seminar. My name is Wayne. This is my wife, Mel. And I thought we would just introduce a little bit about ourselves for those that don't know us as well. We've been married for about 14 years, and we have three kids. Caleb, who is going to seventh grade, Jossie's going to fifth, and Allie's going into second grade. So it's crazy how old they are now. But we've had the privilege of really thinking and talking about marriage and family a little bit more deeply. I always tell Mel I love my job as the family pastor here at Lighthouse. I can't believe I get to do what I do. Today, our goal is to really dive into this topic of telling a better story, right? Seeing your spouse in light of God's story. And just to give it a little bit more context, one of the things that Mel and I talk a lot about is our definition of what Christian marriage is about, right? In contrast to, just other marriages that are out there. And one way that we've defined it is a Christian marriage, Christian spouses, they desire to partner with the Holy Spirit to help each other love Christ more, right? And that's something that we're going to reiterate again and again. And so doing this, telling a better story, is part of that goal, right? It goes underneath, it goes towards that goal. And so today we're going to run through some material with you, and actually we're going to run through two heart work exercises together, right? So it'll be a little bit interactive, and we hope to squeeze all that in again by before 11:55, right? So I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer, and we're going to dive right in. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are a God of hope, you are a God of redemption, you are a God of renewal and restoration, and that the story that you've written for us is one that, that allows us to heal from our brokenness, to move forward with hope, and allows us to love those around us, and especially our spouse. And I pray, God, for this time, for everyone here, whether they are married or not, God, that you would grow us in humility, that we would have a greater insight, greater clarity to see ourselves more clearly, and to also to see our spouses more clearly, and to ultimately to see the way you see. And for that, we need grace. And so, God, we pray for grace this morning, that you would change our hearts, you would open our eyes, you would allow us to know how to minister in more loving and effective ways to those closest to us. And so, God, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity to dive into this topic. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we can go to the next slide.
Okay, so we wanted to start out with this very flattering picture of Wayne and I. This is a caricature that was drawn when we were engaged, so that was 15 years ago. So what do you notice? Maybe you see my forehead. There's a little bump that Wayne has here. I joke it's like his brain exuding. I still have cheeks, really big cheeks. There's actually a little bump on my lip that I didn't even know I had. And lastly, yeah, we tried not to be too offended by how they drew Wayne's eyes.
I was a little offended.
But this is what a caricature is, right? A caricature takes certain aspects of your face, your personality, your body, zooms in and exaggerates those features. And so for our purposes this morning, this caricature is a fun way to remind us that we actually all naturally kind of characterize people in certain ways as well. And so oftentimes we do this without realizing it. We might say, oh, he's athletic, she's musical, he's really good with tech, she's really outgoing, he has this and this job, you know, she accomplished this feat. And when we think about it, a lot of times when we think of someone, certain adjectives pop into our minds. And it's not always bad things, but here's the thing. Is it even possible to really describe someone with just one or two adjectives? Of course not. And yet we do it all the time, even though we hate it when others do that towards us. And so we naturally zoom in and we focus on certain parts of a person, whether it's the good, the bad, the hard. But the danger of creating caricatures is that we start to tell and rehearse those particular aspects and stories of others so that we might begin to only see them as that one thing. And so, for example, you know, if someone's going through a particular difficult season of suffering, we might see that person as a sufferer only. Or if someone has, you know, been caught in great sin, we might start to see them as that sin. And so we want to just acknowledge that oftentimes we might kind of, you know, put someone in a hole or in a box without realizing it.
Yeah, so even at the very start of our time, one of our main hopes for all of us is that we would grow in humility to be able to acknowledge that maybe we don't see and understand people as accurately as we think we do, and especially our spouse. Next slide. Oh, that's fine. When you have been married for, especially for a longer time, right, there can be this false notion of, you know, I already know everything there is to know about my spouse, right? We have these narratives, these stories that we have rehearsed over the years, right? My spouse is just like this, right? Or they always do that, or they would never do this, right? Think about times of conflict, right? In those moments, you're so zoomed in on those particular aspects of your spouse that you're convinced, right, that you know everything there is to know about your spouse, and that's why you're right and they're wrong. And yet our hope for you today is that you'd be able to recognize that perhaps, right, those narratives and that stories that you rehearse to yourself, they could be based on a nugget of truth, right? Maybe they can be. But the story that you've created is, might be an exaggeration, right? Perhaps you don't see and understand your spouse as clearly and as comprehensively as you think you do. I think for me, this was definitely one of the most helpful and convicting truths that has helped me in my marriage with Mel. To be able to admit that I don't know everything that there is to know about Mel, even though we've been married 14 years. And what that does to my heart is that it encourages me to be a learner, right? It encourages me to ask better questions, to be patient, to take time to understand instead of assume. And we've been able to grow deeper in our marriage because my heart posture has changed from a posture of, you know, I think I know everything about my spouse to perhaps I don't know everything about my spouse, and I need her help to help me understand her heart, right? I have to keep growing and learning. And so for today, there's so many things that we can talk about when it comes to marriage, but we thought, again, in these 45 minutes, we'll just focus on one thing, okay? And that's to explore this question. Next slide. How do we tell a better and more accurate story, God's story, for our lives, for our spouse's lives, and for our marriage, right? What does it mean to talk to our spouse and about our spouse with hope and redemption and with a God-centered vision, all right? I think about the times that you have conversations with others, right? Is there hope and redemption as you talk about your spouse? If you're asking for prayer requests for your spouse, is there hope and redemption in those prayer requests, right? In accountability or even in your own meditations throughout the day, is there hope and redemption that would those things characterize how you think about your spouse, right? That is just our main focus for today.
One way that we've actually differentiated between the stories and narratives that we might tell ourselves and God's actual story is shown in the next slide. So we have my story here. So imagine each of these circles is a lens, right? So I'm looking like a camera lens. And so if I'm looking at my life through this lens of my story, then I'm focused on what I want, what I hope for, what has happened to me, what I'm doing. And for my spouse, I'm focused on what they want, what's happened to them, what they're doing. And God is not in this picture when it's just like my story. But in contrast, seeing life through the lens of God's story is completely different. Instead of me being at the center, the main character in my life, God is the main character. And he's at the center. And so I should always be asking, what does God want? What has God promised? What is God doing in my life and in my spouse's life? And one thing that we want to point out is that looking at life through the lens of God's story, it's not only a better story, but it's actually more accurate because reality includes God. And so when we don't include God in the picture, we're not looking at life accurately. So it's not just better, but more accurate to look at our lives through the lens of God's story. One verse that we love is Philippians 1:6, and it says from the Apostle Paul, I am sure of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And we love this verse because it reminds us of the fact that God is the one at work. He's the main character in my life, in Wayne's life, in this universe, and he is always, always, always working. in our lives, even when we don't see it, to complete the good work that he's doing in us. And so we are living in this already but not yet time, right? Jesus has already died for our sins, rose again, conquered the power of sin, but we are not yet perfect. And that's just kind of the broken world reality that we're living in. And so this verse, it brings so much hope because it's saying in God's story, it is guaranteed that he will finish what he starts. And as Wayne was saying, our God is a God of hope and redemption, and his spirit lives within us. And so there are so many evidences of his grace everywhere. I think the question is whether or not we're looking for them.
A helpful question that we have to ask then is, what keeps us from telling this better story, right? And it's not an easy question to answer, okay? There's many layers and there's many things that we can talk about. A couple of things, though, come to mind. What keeps us from telling this better story? What makes us naturally zoom in on certain aspects of people, friends, coworkers, and our spouse? One reason could be we're naturally, like, we're limited, right? We have natural limitations and weaknesses as human beings. We don't know everything, right? We are flawed in our understanding. Other reasons could be even reputation, right? Hearsay, social media, right? Perceptions of people. But I think one reason that is much more significant and one that we want to dive in a little more today is that we don't see and tell the better story because of the nature of our hearts, right? Next slide. There's a very helpful Latin theological phrase describing the effects of sin on humanity. Hopefully I'm pronouncing this correct, but incurvatus in se. And it literally means turned or curved inward on oneself. Okay, Martin Luther says it this way: our nature by the corruption of the first sin is so deeply curved in on itself that it bends the best gifts of God towards itself, including marriage, right? Think of a black hole in space, right? The background you can see is a black hole. A black hole just absorbs and sucks everything into itself, right? And that's the effect of sin in our hearts, right? It makes us naturally and constantly look inward instead of outward, right? If we want to develop this thought a little further, listening to Pastor Jeremy this morning talking about Genesis 3 and the effects of sin, I just added these two slides. But this is from a guy named Bob Kellerman. But he goes through the effects of sin on relationships from Genesis 3. And it's a really easy way to remember because it rhymes. But basically, it's shame, blame, claim, and maim, right? And the next slide, it explains that how because of sin, we shame, making each other feel worthless and dirty, weak and small, right? We blame, making the other person feel like everything is their fault. We claim, manipulating and demanding that my spouse meet my needs, and we maim, retaliating against each other and hurting each other, right? This is the effect of sin on our hearts, is that it makes us naturally, again, and constantly look inward instead of outward. So going back to the my story and God's story slide, next slide, we can look at the effects of sin on marriage this way. Do I see my spouse as part of my story or part of God's story, right? Do I view my spouse like this first picture on the left as, you know, Mel orbiting and revolving around me, right, around my plans, my agendas, my desires, or do I view myself and Mel as both orbiting and revolving around God? Okay, this is probably one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself every day, every morning when you wake up, right, in your marriage. Who is at the center, right? Whose desires, whose plans, whose agenda are you following, right? I think one of the most convicting truths that I need to remember in my marriage is that Mel is not ultimately mine, right? She's my wife, but ultimately she belongs to God. Mel has been entrusted into my care, and I'm going to be called into account one day by God regarding my stewardship of my marriage, right? And so if you're a husband, right, all the husbands out in here, we can get caught up with all sorts of things, right, in terms of how to love and care for our family in the here and now. But our primary responsibility is to prepare our wives to meet Christ one day, right? That is an extremely exciting and daunting thought, right? Our goal is not just to provide for our family for the here and now, but to prepare our wives and our kids for eternity. And that is completely contrary to the world's idea of marriage, which is basically how can we get what we want from each other and work out some kind of compromise so that we can fulfill each other's desires. we'll repeat it again, but the goal of a Christian spouse is to partner with the Holy Spirit to help each other love Christ more, right? And so when we have this lens of seeing our spouses as not just our spouses, but also our sisters in Christ and our brothers in Christ, right, that completely changes how we speak, interact, and care for our spouses. And yet, next slide, because of our self-centered hearts, we can easily reduce our loved ones to either vehicles to help us get what we want or obstacles who are in the way of what we want, right? So one way to say it in regards to our talk for today is our warped vision is a result of our warped hearts.
Okay. And this really is how devastating our sin is. As spouses, again, we are meant to partner with the Spirit to help each other know and love Christ more. We're even meant to be a picture of Christ and his church to a watching world, to watching little people in our homes. And as spouses, we were meant to really know and understand each other in deep ways. I mean, when you go home, only you really know your spouse at home, right? When no one is looking, without the makeup and the hair done, you see the good, the bad, the hard. You're supposed to be the closest person to them. And oftentimes, unfortunately, instead of using that understanding in love and to help each other to grow, even in our weakness, we'll take this intimate knowledge that we have of each other, we'll misuse it, and even weaponize that knowledge to further our own agenda, right? To prove our case, to bring up past faults and sins from 20 years ago, right? That one time you forgot to turn off the stove or whatever it was, right? We take these this knowledge and we put our spouse down to lift ourselves up. And that's really how destructive and devastating our sin can be. And this is why we need the gospel. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the supernatural help. And so, next slide. We need the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts from this inward and self-focused bent to an outward and upward focus, especially upward toward God and the hope that we have in him. And so one way that we've summarized it is here. It says, sin ruins our sight by ruining our hearts, but the gospel transforms our sight by transforming our hearts. And so we don't need just better communication tactics, kind tone, better timing in our conversations, but we need transformed hearts. So in those everyday moments, when things aren't going the way that I want, right, the kids aren't listening, Wayne isn't listening, and I start to feel a little annoyed, which can quickly turn into,
Firstborn.
Oh, I'm the firstborn. Okay, anyways, hey. Okay, so where's my spot? Okay. So in this moment right now, I'm a little, like, thrown off, right? Have this good desire to share with our church family. I need help to see the situation the way God does, right? That he's telling a better story. To tell a better story of what he is doing in and through those closest to me. So nagging, yelling, using harsh words is not telling a better story. In order to tell a better story of our spouse, we need to see God. And in order for us to see God, we need our hearts to be transformed by him. And so, you know, you've heard it so many times at church, but the gospel is what transforms us as we think about and meditate on Christ's love and sacrifice on our behalf. So in order to tell a better story of our spouse, we need to remember the better story that God has for us, his promises to be near us, to be with us, his plans for us, what he has done already in the past on the cross, what he is presently doing in our lives now, and what he will do in that future day of glorification. And so as our hearts are changed by the gospel and Christ's finished work on our behalf, then we can rest. We can rest in knowing that he's the one who does the saving and the transforming day by day in me and in Wayne, in our marriages. And so because God has been kind to me through Christ, I can extend that same kindness to my husband. Because God is patient with me in my weakness, I can be patient with my husband in his weakness. I love a verse, Ephesians 4:32, and it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so that's the key, right? As God has forgiven us, that's how we can forgive and move towards one another in love. That's the motivation. And so again, as we said before, when we see without God, we actually don't see an accurate picture of reality.
All right. Well, I hope you can see so far that the goal, this goal of telling a better story is not just about seeing the bright side, okay, or seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. It's looking at life and our spouse and our marriage and everyday situations through a completely different lens, right? Seeing the way God does, exploring what is his story, what he is doing in and through us. And so for the remainder of our time, we actually want to work through two heart work exercises that we believe can help you tell a better story for your spouse and for your marriage. This is something that we've gone through several times for ourselves, and we've worked through with other couples. The first exercise really is to build a greater understanding of ourselves and our spouse, right? Looking at our lives through this lens of saint, sufferer, and sinner, and we'll talk more about that later. The second exercise is more of an introduction of how to start having gospel-centered, God-centered conversations, right? How to tell this better and more accurate story in everyday situations when you walk in a room and everyone's going crazy, right? What do you do, right? How can you start to try to see what God's story in that situation? So if you can look at the first heart work, it's titled Saint, Sufferer, and Sinner, okay? This is something, again, you might be familiar with this idea if you've been at Lighthouse for a while. I think some of our ministry groups have gone through this book by Mike Emlett, who introduced this framework or understanding of ourselves and others. And this assignment is helpful in understanding ourselves and others as we live, as Mel said, in this fallen world, right? In this already but not yet state, okay? The first category is saint. And that basically describes how you are if you are a Christian here today, okay? We don't mean this word saint in the sense of how Catholics might use this term, but in the sense that you are saved by Christ, you are forgiven of your sins, you are a son or daughter of God, you are completely righteous, not because of your own works, but because you are covered in Christ's perfect righteousness, and so because of that, you are a saint, right? Ephesians chapter 1, if you read through that, we are adopted sons and daughters of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creations. Even from this morning's talk, right, and yesterday night's, we are no longer strangers to God, right? So that's what it means that we are saints. But we are also a sufferer, right? We live in a broken and fallen world with other broken, fallen people. And because of that, we are always experiencing disappointment, struggle, suffering. We have health issues, work issues, relationship issues. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will face tribulation." Right, Romans 8 describes how this world is groaning for redemption. So we are sufferers, right? And finally, we are sinners. And we need to be clear of what that means for us as Christians. We are not sinners in the sense that we are enslaved to our sin and do not have the ability or desire to love God, but because of the Spirit's work in our hearts, the power of sin is broken, but the presence of sin still remains as long as we are in this life. We will continue to struggle with sin, pride, living our own way instead of God's way. Romans 7, the Apostle Paul says, you know, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do, right? This is the struggle with sin that we'll have. And so this assignment is really exploring the fact that we are in process, right? We will never be perfect, but if we are saved, we should be moving in the right direction, okay? So we're going to go ahead and give you guys 3 minutes. It really should be like 3 hours, okay? Like every week, 3 hours, okay? But we're going to give you 3 minutes to look at the first page, which basically goes through these categories for yourself. And after 3 minutes, we'll let you know time's up. You flip to the back, and you'll go through it for your spouse, okay? All right? And then we're going to come back and debrief and talk about it a little bit, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and start a timer. All right. Ready, set, go.
Okay, you can hopefully work on this during free time today. Just kidding. So yeah, hopefully that was a good time for you to just get started on this heart work. Yeah, how was that for all of you? I know maybe if you're like us, there were certain questions that were a lot easier to answer. Maybe some of that were, like answers were slower to come to mind. Some of the actually interesting observations that we had as we were working through it and as we've walked with some other couples, this might be similar to you. It wasn't always as easy to write down all the ways that we see ourselves as a saint, right? There's maybe the obvious, like, I'm saved, and then after that, like, well, Yeah, that maybe our identity isn't always found in Christ's finished work for us, that we might still feel like we have to work and be better and try harder. So we would just encourage you to really meditate on just Christ's finished work accomplished on the cross on your behalf. And there are some passages of scripture that are on the exercise as well. We would encourage you just on your own even to take time to meditate on some of those. A second observation in the suffering section was, that sometimes it could be easy to, like, minimize our suffering, like, unless it's something really big, right, like a major health crisis or a loss of job or something that's really life-threatening. We might not even think of certain things as suffering. And one insight that we wanted to share is that suffering is not a competitive sport. So just because you're not in the hospital or going through something really difficult doesn't mean that, God doesn't care about even the little things that you're going through. And lastly, in the sinner category, one thing for us as we worked through this was we realized that a lot of the things that we thought were sin, maybe in our spouse, actually were probably just more preferences. And so we would just encourage all of us to really think through what actually is sin when we think about our spouse, and what might just be an expectation or a very strong preference that you have in how you think about them. And so these are just some observations that we noticed as we worked through it and as we walked with some other couples. But we do hope that it would be a helpful exercise for you to work through together. And even in different seasons, like doing this like 3 years ago versus doing it today, right? The answers and just the ways we process and think about ourselves and our spouse could be different. And hopefully it would be encouraging to see even God's work in your life.
Yeah, you can think of it this way. After doing this, you are now 3 minutes more in understanding your spouse and yourself, right? And really just taking that extended time to think about it really, and not just, again, through the perspective of my perspective, but really through God's perspective, right? How does God see my spouse, and how can I start to see my spouse the way he does? I really encourage you guys to take the time to do this and continue to develop this. And as Mel said, a year later, 2 years later, to kind of come back to this, because the answers will be different, right? As you grow and change and develop, life changes. And we want to encourage you to continue working on this and even maybe to go through it together, right, with your spouse. We would suggest go through the saint section first, okay, and then the sufferer, okay, and then when you get to the sinner section, please don't get into a fight, okay, but I guess Pastor Jeremy's here, and he can help you. But I think just, again, it can really help you to grow deeper in your understanding, right, and really that's such a huge part of relationships, and especially marriage, to help see more clearly. One thing we want to also point out is as you continue to work on this and as you look back and especially at the sufferer and sinner sections, a good question to ask yourself is whether you are telling a better story when you talk about suffering and sin, especially in your spouse, right? Again, do you include, does hope and redemption characterize how you're writing? Is it redemptive or condemning, right? Saying things like, you're always like this and you will never change, right? That is not only not helpful, but it's not accurate, right? Philippians 1:6, God is working, he is faithful, and it is guaranteed he always finishes what he started, right? So if we truly understand and believe God's story for our lives and our spouse's lives, even when we talk about sin and suffering, there should be an upward direction, right? There should be a promised assurance that God will make all things right in the end. The next slide is the most complicated PowerPoint slide that I've ever made, okay? I'm not that good at PowerPoint, but yeah, I want you to check it out, okay? So the next, okay, oh, she, no, is it there? Oh, wait, next slide. Sorry, wait, oh, next slide, or is there no, I think it's in the wrong order, sorry. Can you go to the next one? Go to the next one. Oh, man, maybe it's not there. Okay, well, maybe you could imagine, all right, imagine going back to the sinner, saint, suffer slide. I think I missed it. Basically, what it should have done was the sinner, saint, sufferer would all disappear, and then the only thing that would be left is saint, okay? And, oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. All right. So, and we want to even share this insight because this was such an encouragement to us that out of all three categories, only the saint category is eternal, right? I mean, just think about that for a moment. For your, oh, you did it. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. Keep playing that again and again. And so one day there will be no more sin. One day there will be no more suffering, right? And I think the way Tim Keller puts it in the meaning of marriage is sometimes we want a better spouse, but the better spouse is the one we already have, right? If we can think of eternity and what that person will be and what Christ will make of our husband and our wife. And so even with that, I think that gives us hope, right? That gives us direction in how we think about our spouse, that we are in process and there's a direction, and one day there will be no more sin and suffering, right? All right, our second assignment builds on the first, and it basically answers a question of everyday scenarios. Okay, if I walk into a room, kids are arguing, Mel's just upset, right? And hypothetically, right? And in my heart, I'm just like, what is going on, right? Like, why is this happening again? You need to stop, right? Stop being like this. What? Right? Okay, and I start to see again through my story, right? Like what I want, what is happening, right? My hopes, my desires. And what does it mean to, again, and I would say it's a battle, right? Through grace. What does it mean to take down this lens and to put the lens of God's story in those situations that are heated, that are difficult, that have tension, okay? And so one way that we've kind of built on this idea of saint, sinner, sufferer is action points, okay? And so basically, how can I affirm the good, how can I recognize the hard, and how can I address the bad? And I would actually argue in that order as much as possible. So again, how can I affirm the good, how can I recognize the hard, and address the bad? Okay, I think we all know our tendency, especially with our spouse and our kids, we can jump to the bad, right? The first words out of our mouth is criticism, correction, right? But how can we take a step back, find the good, look for the hard, let that change and affect our hearts, okay? And then if we even have to address the bad, maybe it's not even sin, it's just our own expectations, we're coming at it with a much more loving, redemptive, and hopeful approach, all right? And so this next assignment, I'm just going to go ahead and walk through it. I realize I don't have a handout on me, but can I borrow one real quick? All right, so if you look at the second assignment, number one, it says growing to see God's story in our spouse. Number one is to identify. Write out a frequent story or narrative that you tell yourself about your spouse. Right, they are unorganized, they are selfish, they are lazy, they are too sensitive, whatever that is that you play again and again, weeks and years. To pray, take time to ask God to help see your spouse the way he sees them in a way that is hope-filled and redemptive. Number three, rehearse the good and the hard. Zoom out from the issue you are focused on and thoughtfully answer the questions. What is the good that I can identify in my spouse? Right? What is the hurt that my spouse is experiencing underneath the anger, frustration, disappointment they are expressing? How can the first words from my mouth affirm the good and or recognize the hard? And retell your spouse's story with God in the picture. Right? What is God doing in, around, and through my spouse's life? How can I reframe the story with gospel hope? And finally, move towards your spouse. Take time to affirm your spouse with the good that you see in them. Take time to comfort your spouse by asking how you can help them in their suffering, okay? All right, so we're gonna go ahead and give you guys just 2 minutes to work on one story, okay? And this is just, again, a teaser. You can work on this more later, but yeah, go ahead and just take some time to do that. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Again, sorry the time is so short, but we're actually really thankful that we're able to even kind of squeeze in those hard works. And again, it's just a way for you guys to build on what you guys have already done today. Yeah, so going back to that scenario that I described earlier, right, which is, you know, especially during COVID, working at home, everyone's in the same house, that was a regular occurrence for me, right? And I would come out of the bedroom where I was working and see a situation that was undesirable, right? That was not ideal, right? Whether with the kids, and just things going on. In that moment, what can I do, right? What should I do? Well, again, it's a battle, right? And I've had to learn how to pray, ask God for help. But things, just practical things that you could do, right? I mean, like, I think one thing that we found that was helpful was even for me to be able to go to Mel and just even affirm her and say, hey, thank you so much for caring for the kids. I know it's hard, right? Being able to acknowledge the hard, right? And say, yeah, it's not easy for everyone. Just, you know, being together all the time, going to the kids and saying, hey, how are you guys doing? Let's talk through this. Let's work through this, right? Giving your spouse a hug or even a kiss and just letting them know that you care for them, that you're for them in that moment, right? Versus, again, the first words out of our mouth just being criticism or correction, okay? So just for you, I think there's different ways that God can grow in your heart and your marriage, and we just want to encourage you, again, if we can go to the next slide. If there is one way we want to, next slide. Okay, well, we can just talk, oh yeah, that's fine. This is our hope really for you guys, and I think this can really transform your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, if you take the time to first affirm the good, right, to recognize the hard, and really, if necessary, address the bad, right? That can reverse this process of many times in our marriages, we're just jumping to the bad, right? We're jumping to the criticism and the correction, okay? And if we go to the previous slide, the one with the big circles, this, I just included this, that the goal of this second assignment really is to get past this cycle of responding to just the external symptoms, right? Many times in marriage, we just respond to each other's anger or nagging or cold shoulder, and it's just this endless cycle. And the way to break the cycle is to pray for grace to be able to minister to the inner and deeper hurt, right, and loss and pain that I believe is underneath that anger and nagging, right? And if you're able to do that in that moment by God's grace, see God's story and how you can minister to your spouse instead of just responding to the external symptoms, I think that can also help your marriage just grow in deeper ways, all right? Okay, so our last thing we wanted to do is, if you look on your sheet, there's some prayer points, and it basically just sums up everything we've been talking about today. One is to identify and combat the false narratives that we tell ourselves about our spouse and our marriage. In other words, interpreting life through the lens of our story, and to see, understand, and rehearse the true, more accurate, right, because God's in the picture, redemptive narratives that God has promised to his children, and interpreting life through the lens of God's story. So, yeah, I just want you guys to have, yeah, some time. We're going to just pray. I have you guys just pray on your own for, you know, 30 seconds. No, and then, exactly, right, and then I'll close this in prayer, right? So let's pray. Father God, Lord, we know that left to ourselves, we cannot see, we cannot understand the way we need to. And so, God, we just pray for all the husbands and the wives in here, and even those who are just thinking and contemplating marriage, God, that you would help us, God, to, by your grace, be able to see your story for our lives, for our spouses' lives, for our marriage. We know that you are a God of hope, you are a God of redemption. And so I pray, God, that we would see, understand, rehearse, and tell that story more and more in our relationships and especially in our homes. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, thank you, guys.